What if the next global arms race isn't fought with hypersonic missiles or stealth jets, but with microscopes and petri dishes?
What if the most powerful weapon of the 21st century isn't a bomb, but a bacterium, engineered, designed, unleashed?
That's the question that's been keeping me up at night. As a writer, I've spent decades exploring futures where science fiction bleeds into reality, but lately, the line has just vanished. The things we're going to talk about today, this idea of a symbiotic siege, it feels like we're living in the opening pages of a script I would have once called unbelievable.
Yeah, and for me, it's less about the script and more about the science itself. I've been following the quiet revolutions happening in labs around the world in genetic manipulation, synthetic biology, bioinformatics, and you start to connect the dots. You see the potential for incredible good, for medicine, for humanity. But you also see this other path opening up, a much darker one.
Exactly. It's that duality that we're diving into today. We're going to explore how these life-altering, world-changing biotechnologies are being quietly harnessed for the art of war. We're talking about everything from performance-enhancing microbes for soldiers to, well, things far more unsettling.
And we have to, because this isn't a theoretical, far-off debate anymore. The technology is here. The research is happening now. And the ethical questions, the moral guardrails, they're struggling to keep up. It's a conversation that is as fascinating as it is, frankly, a little terrifying. Where do we draw the line when the battlefield itself becomes biological?
And that's the question, isn't it? That line. Let's start with the most intimate battlefield of all, the soldier's own body. You mentioned performance-enhancing microbes. My mind immediately goes to some super soldier serum, some Captain America stuff, but the reality is subtler and maybe even stranger.
Oh, much stranger. Forget the serum. Think about the ecosystem that's already inside every one of us, the microbiome. We have trillions of bacteria in our gut, on our skin, that help us digest food, fight off pathogens, even regulate our mood. The science is now saying, what if we could curate that ecosystem? What if we could introduce an engineered bacterium that, say, produces essential nutrients on demand during a long mission with scarce rations?
So you're not adding a foreign substance. You're upgrading the internal operating system. Is that the idea?
That's a great way to put it. Or imagine a microbe that can detect specific chemical agents in the air and release an antidote directly into the soldier's bloodstream before they even know they're exposed. It's preemptive medicine. It's a biological early warning system living inside you.
Wow. Okay, that change. Giants. That is a profound shift. Because a gas mask is a tool you put on. A suit is something you wear. This is something you become. What happens when the mission is over? Can you head
and uninstall the upgrade?
And that is the multi-billion-dollar question. Containment. What if this engineered microbe designed for the unique metabolism of a highly trained soldier gets out? What if it transfers to the civilian population? A bacterium designed to optimize a soldier for a high-stress, low-resource environment might have completely unforeseen and potentially devastating effects on a regular person.
It sounds like the logic they use for genetically modified crops, the concern about cross-pollination with wild species. But here, the wild species is us, the general public.
Precisely. And look at the debate around GMOs. Decades of research saying they're safe, yet there's immense public skepticism. Now apply that skepticism to a technology that's not just in your food, but in your body. And it wasn't designed for your benefit, but as a tool of national defense. The psychological and ethical hurdles are staggering.
It also raises a question of ownership, doesn't it? If the military designs a suite of microbes that gives a soldier an edge, does the military then have some sort of intellectual property claim over that soldier's biology?
You're touching on the real frontier of this. We see it with patents on geners, on engineered seeds. Is a soldier's enhanced microbiome a piece of government equipment? Does it get decommissioned? The legal framework is completely unprepared for a world where a person's body is subject to a user agreement.
A user agreement. For your own biology. I mean, that's a level of dystopian I haven't even thought to write. Forget the legal framework. What does that do to the person? To the soldier who signs on that dotted line? You're not just giving your time or your skill. You're giving up a fundamental part of your self-sovereignty.
It completely redefines the concept of government property. We already see soldiers who feel a disconnect after an injury, struggling with a prosthetic. Now imagine the source of that disconnect is invisible. It's inside you. It's a piece of code, a living organism that you don't control, and that can theoretically be turned off. Or worse, updated with new instructions you're not aware of.
A remote update. To your gut, that's horrifying. It creates this profound vulnerability, a back door into the human body itself. And if you can do that for your own soldiers, for enhancement, the next logical step is just chillingly obvious, isn't it?
It is. If you can design a microbe to produce a vitamin, you can design one to produce a neurotoxin. If you can create a bacterium to protect a soldier, you can create one to attack an enemy. And we're not necessarily talking about a fast-acting, lethal pandemic like in the movies.
No, that's almost too crude, too obvious. What are you thinking of?
Something subtler. Think about a modified bacterium, harmless in most ways, but engineered to degrade rubber or oil. You release it in an enemy's territory, and over the course of a few weeks, supply lines just fall apart. Gaskets on vehicles fail, fuel reserves get contaminated, electrical insulation crumbles.
It's not an attack on people, it's an attack on infrastructure at a microscopic level.
You're waging war on materialism itself. Oh my God. It's like a termite infestation on a national scale. How would you even trace that back? How would you prove it was an attack and not just a series of catastrophic coincidental failures?
You couldn't. Not easily. It's the ultimate implausible deniability. Or, and this is where it gets into really ethically murky water, what about a bug that doesn't kill but incapacitates? Imagine engineering a common gut bacterium to produce a compound that induces chronic fatigue or mild cognitive impairment. You introduce it into a water supply. You don't have a single casualty, but the enemy's fighting force, their entire workforce, becomes lethargic, confused, and ineffective.
You're not defeating an army. You're making them lose the will to fight. You're eroding a nation from the inside out, biologically. That's the real symbiotic siege, isn't it? It's not just about enhancing your own side, it's about turning the enemy's own biology into the battlefield.
And it's a siege they don't even know is happening until it's far too late. It bypasses tanks, it bypasses missiles, it bypasses everything we traditionally think of as defense. Mm-hmm. It goes straight for the source code of the soldier, of the citizen, of the society itself. It's a paradigm shift in warfare that we are dangerously unprepared to even discuss, let alone confront.
And that's the thing that really gets me. Our entire defense doctrine, our trillions of dollars in hardware, it's all built to stop things you can see. A missile on a radar screen. A tank rolling across a border. How do you build a shield against something that could be engineered in 1,000 different labs, released without a trace, and looks like a coincidental natural decline?
You can't. Not in the traditional sense. The shield isn't a piece of technology. The only real defense is transparency. It's global scientific cooperation. It's having the very conversations we're having right now, but in the halls of government, in public forums. Mm-hmm.
But are we capable of that? I mean, look at our track record. We split the atom to create clean energy, and the first thing we did was build a bomb. We're always seduced by the weapon.
I know, and that's the part that keeps me up at night. And I have to hold on to this. The same technology that could create a rubber-eating microbe is the same technology that could create one to clean up oil spills. The science that could induce fatigue could also be used to cure chronic fatigue syndrome. The tool itself is neutral.
Is it, though? I wonder. A hammer can build a house or break a window, sure. But this feels different. This is a tool that rewrites the source code of life itself.
The potential for misuse seems exponentially greater. I'm left with this profound sense of dread that we've opened a door and have no idea what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't entirely disagree with you on that. My perspective, I guess, is less dread and more a sense of immense and frankly terrifying responsibility. We have to get this right. We have to build the ethical framework before the crisis hits, not after. Because if we wait, it'll be too late. The siege will have already begun, and we won't even know we're the battlefield.
A chilling final thought. It's been,
Well, an unsettling, but absolutely necessary conversation.
It really has. Thanks for diving into the deep end with me. And to everyone listening, keep asking these questions. This is a future that belongs to all of us, and we have to shape it together. Stay safe out there.